Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of the Mum and Mum podcast, brought to you as always by the lovely Golding Accountancy, wearegolding.com. Hi, how are you?
I am good. I have a nice story to start this podcast with. So I've not been well for a couple of weeks now. I've been moaning about it a lot with my endometriosis, so I'm sorry I've been moaning, but for some reason the pain's just been going on for a lot longer this time, but it's not been too bad. But anyway, so on Sunday the 3rd of April, so a couple of weeks ago, I was supposed to go and see Thundercat, who's an artist that I really love, but I wasn't able to because I wasn't well. And also they'd moved the venue from Roundhouse, which is like in Camden, near Camden, to Brixton Academy, which is obviously in Brixton, which is a bit further away from me, and I just didn't have it in me to go that far. And also I was taking my eldest daughter Lola. And the Roundhouse, the setup's just a bit more child-friendly, I think, than Brixton Academy. I just didn't feel comfortable taking her to Brixton Academy. And anyway, I couldn't because I wasn't well enough. So I missed that. So I was a bit gutted about that because this has been put off for 2 years. But the following Saturday, I had tickets to go and see Robert Glasper at a church in Hackney. And throughout the week, I was just thinking, I've got to go. I can't not go. But the thought of standing up for a number of hours, I just thought, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. So anyway, my sister contacted the venue to find out if there was anything they could do to accommodate me, because I really needed to sit down. And they were like, yeah, that's fine. Just get there 10 minutes before the doors open and we'll give you access to the upstairs. So that's what we did. And the venue's amazing. It's Hackney Church. I think it's called St. John's at Hackney. If you ever get a chance to go to a gig there, then go. It's beautiful. But anyway, so Robert Glasper came on, it was absolutely amazing. And then Leanne LaHavis came out and sang the cover of Radiohead's Weird Fishes that she's done recently, which is one of my, you know, when you hear a song and you just absolutely love it, and it had that effect on me. So when she came out to start singing that, I was just like really overwhelmed because it was just so amazing. And then Common came on stage and sang, well, a couple of songs, and one of which has been my ringtone for God knows how many years. The Light, of course, his big hit. But it was honestly just one of the most amazing nights of my life. And it, because I've been in and not well for so long, then going to a gig, everyone there was lovely. All the staff were lovely. The organisers were lovely. The crowd was lovely. It was just such a lovely experience. And Robert Glasper on stage, he had loads of different guest musicians coming on, and everyone just kept hugging each other. It was so lovely. So I had just had the best night of my life, and it was really nice to have a really nice experience after the fucking shit week I'd had. Well, weeks. But anyway, so I just wanted to share that because I think he's done, if you listen to Six Music, he did a little thing with Marianne Hobbs for about half an hour, so you can still find that online if you want to listen to that. Yeah, but it was just amazing. I love Robert Glasper though. If you don't know who he is, then I suggest you check him out. He's got a new album out. He's just really good. He works with loads of people. Anyway, that was my little happy story that I wanted to tell you. This week, against all odds, so
the gorgeous Bee Ducks is a girlfriend of my very good friend, and I've wanted to get her on the podcast for ages because I love her. She's lovely, and I really wanted to talk about her job because she works in the sex industry, and it's her job and she loves it, but it's such a taboo subject, and also she goes through so much shit just trying to get any kind of workers' rights, which are pretty much non-existent. And I just really wanted to talk about it with her to explore different things because I wanted to be educated on it because I don't really know that much about it and all the battles she faces and everything. So, yeah, she agreed to come on, and then for some reason it's just been not been able to happen for ages, but it has happened and it was lovely. We are joined by her beautiful dog, Finley, who likes to comment as well quite a lot throughout the podcast. And also she was having internet issues, so it's actually all right considering. But if there's a couple of bits where it sounds a little bit weird, then I'm sorry, it's just where kind of it dropped out and then dropped back in. But I have done the best I can. Oh yeah, because she recorded, her recording didn't come out either. So yeah, it's just all been a bit of a, it's like the universe didn't want it to happen. And I don't know why that would be, because it's a really lovely chat. So anyway, I hope you enjoy it and I'll see you in a bit.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Work. Work.
Hello?
We could... Hello.
Oh,
if
my
your
God,
phone's right. better, we could do it on your phone.
I've connected my laptop to my phone's internet.
Oh, okay.
So hopefully... I'll be honest, there was some, like, drilling nearby earlier, so I don't know if they're doing some sort of... On this podcast... The world is against this podcast happening, I swear. The universe is just like, nah, we'll throw a little Roblox in there. I'll throw
maybe
a little internet connection issues.
We're going to figure out the answers to all the problems in the world.
That might be it.
And it's not ready for it yet.
That could very well be it. I'm going to go ahead and say that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what's happening. Because evil forces are against us. It's so nice to see your face.
Oh, it's wonderful to see yours. You're gorgeous human. Oh, love it.
How are you? And I love all your plants.
Thank you. Most of them are like... I was trying to decide where to have the webcam set up because usually I'll like turn it that way and then I'll sit on a chair. But Finley is very much insistent on sitting on the chair that I usually use to look out the window today. So that's not happening. The joys of being a dog parent. Whatever he says goes, because he can't speak English, so...
There you go. How is he?
He's gorgeous and wonderful and...
How long have you had him now?
So, I went to go and pick him up. I rescued him on the 31st of December 2020, and he was 10, 11 months old when I got him. 10 months old?
Yep.
Something like that, I don't know. So I got him just before his first birthday, and now I've had him over a year.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I love this boy. I'm very much like, I'm not his favourite. I'm just the constant in his life. I'm the person that's always there. But then when Pip comes, whenever Pip's around, it's very, very clear that I am second fiddle. Pip is the love of his life. Oh, my days.
Really?
Yeah, he loves him. When Pip leaves, Finley just doesn't speak to me for like a day. He's just like, no, Dad's gone. I don't want to talk to you. The love of my life has left.
Why do you think that is?
Probably because Pip's so hairy, he probably mistakes him for another dog. Pip is as hairy as a beast, so he probably just likes cuddling up to this giant.
But it is interesting, isn't it? Because obviously you're there all the time and you're his mum. And I'm sure that you are his favourite. But it's, yeah, I suppose, but then maybe you want the thing that's not always there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because he maybe it's more...
It must just be like absence makes heart grow fonder. Because Pip will insist that, like, if I'm in the house, Finley won't leave the front door to go for a walk. Like, he won't leave with Pip if he knows that I'm in the house. And he had a week at Pip's when I was away. And he was saying, oh, he just sat on your dressing gown the whole time and cried. And I'm just thinking, I think you're lying. I think that's untrue. I think you've had the best week ever and you're feeling bad for me because Finley didn't even realise I was gone. That's what I believe happened.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
I don't know. It's honestly... thing is, Finley's the type of dog where he's either the most obedient dog ever and he's a credit to me, he does me proud, or he's the biggest shit ever. It's one or the other, there's no in between. And today I think he's got a little bit of little shit energy about him. We'll see. We'll see as the podcast goes on.
Where did you rescue him from?
Yeah. So I got him from Rescue Remedies, which is a rescue centre in... Oh, crap, where is it? Surrey, I think. Yeah, Surrey.
Okay.
And they had like loads and loads of staffies, and he was listed as a staffie. And then when I went to go and meet him, I was a bit like, this dog is not a staffie because he is very muscular. He's got a massive head. And they were like, well, he was sold to his first owner as a mini American pit bull, but they don't exist. And I'm like, no, they don't. So I think his first owner spent about $5,000 on him. And, yeah, and he's actually just... Yeah. When I spoke to the vet was saying he's definitely got pit bull in him, but it's probably like a staffy Frenchie mix with a pit bull. So
it's just
a very, very needy bulldog.
Oh, he is beautiful.
He's
Can
gorgeous,
they not do like
he?
A DNA test on him? Because Stu Whiffin did that.
Yeah, with Savvy. Oh, no.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I can be arsed. Like, I quite love him no matter what he is. And in my head, I'm like, oh, he's got a bit of this in him, he's got a bit of that in him. I quite like the mystery. He's an international man of mystery. I like it. It's like Pip. You cannot tell what nationality Pip is just by looking at him. He's like all Essex, probably. And he looks Iranian.
That's quite true. Happy.
He's so, next after his dad.
Yeah.
It's ginger like me and hairy like him.
So, I wanted you to come on today to talk all about yourself.
I'm not good at that, actually.
Aren't you?
I like to pretend, but I'm very much
but
a...
You're not.
Let's talk about sex, baby.
Something else. Oh, yeah, and talk about sex as well. But are you quite an open person? Like, do you tell people everything or do you pretend to be that and then not really say much?
I think I accidentally end up saying everything because especially if it's something I'm comfortable with, like you, I end up just saying anything that comes to the tip of my tongue. I just say tongue. I usually say tongue. That's weird, isn't it? Weird. But in like some interviews, I've been very like they've asked me something and I've gone, politician's answer. I'm going to work around this and talk about what that person does instead of me, but I'll make it sound like it's me. But yeah, I just really, if it's someone I'm comfortable with, I just chat shit and end up saying everything.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. I like a bit of chat shit. So where are you from?
So I'm from, I was born in a little town called Blackburn, which is home to Blackburn Rovers, which is the only time anyone ever recognises what I'm talking about because of football. 1994 or 1995 champions. Thank you very much, Alan Shearer, nice. Home of. Anyway, yeah, so that's me just literally just spouting facts there. RTA Labore is the theme song. I don't know. Anyway, and so I'm from a little tiny area that's like in between Preston and Manchester. To say that my hometown's Darwin. Yeah. Little Darwin. There's a Darwin in Australia and there's a Darwin in Texas, but the original is in England. Thank you. And that's like my little...
And is that in Blackburn? Or near Blackburn?
So Darwin's like next... Yeah, it's next to Blackburn. So there's like...
Next to it.
The area's like Hindburn, Blackburn with Darwin.
Okay.
All very interesting. It's just basically one shithole after the other.
So...
Well, this...
Oh, go on.
My nipple's out. It's just happened.
Oh, is it?
I started talking what? And then went, oh.
I can't see anything.
That's why I've got a cardio.
What have you got on? Why do your tits keep falling out of it?
I've got on, right. Here's the thing. It's like a full bodysuit thing that's really comfy. But I really needed a wee. So I took the my arms out and then thought, oh, I'm going to need a wee again today at some point. I'm just not going to put the arms back in. So I put the cardigan on and now my boobs are just, woo, flailing about.
That's why, then, because you're not actually dressed properly.
Because I'm not.
It's not just
and I rarely ever am.
No. Do you
I don't have giant boobs.
You work from home.
Yes.
So do you find that when you're at home and not working, you're just, you don't get dressed? Or are you one of the people that always gets up in the morning and gets dressed?
Well, my work entails not being dressed anyway. So what I tend to do, get up, get in pyjamas, get ready for work, get naked, get back in pyjamas. So that's me.
Yeah. So how long have you been working in the sex industry?
How long's it been? How old am I now? I don't know how old I am anymore. I just tell people I'm 24 and just leave it at that. But I've been in the industry since I was 18. So almost 10 years. So I've been in the sex industry in one capacity. Oh, actually, I'll tell you what though. No, because I worked at Ann Summers when I was 17. So yeah, 10 years I've been in the adult industry in one capacity or another.
So how did you get into it?
What did I do? Well, first I started modelling, and I was modelling since I was about 16, 15, because my friend asked me to come and model for her for college. And then she posted the photos to a site called Purpleport, which used to be like a modelling networking thing. And other photographers got in touch with her and said, who's this model? I want to work with her. So I started like safer work modelling. And in Tumblr, when Tumblr was a thing and it was just porn and bullshit, I came across this model called Ash Marie, who we follow each other now and I talked to her and it's like, oh my God, my idol. But I saw, it was this video of her and she was making fart noises with the pit of her knee. And the caption was, I love my job. And I was like, hang about. What do you mean you love your job because you're making fart noises? So I went down a little bit of a rabbit hole and found out that she's a cam girl. And I thought, she literally gets paid to sit around in underwear and just laugh and do dumb shit and dance and wiggle and sometimes she gets her boobs out. Yeah. And I thought, oh, that sounds like a bit of me, actually. That sounds cracking. I want to do that. So between 17 and 18, I spent the whole year researching and seeing like what campsite I want to go on, which campsites I didn't like the look of, what other models did, what I felt comfortable with, I just spent the whole year.
For those who don't know what a campsite is, what is a campsite?
So a campsite, such as Chatterbit or My Free Cams, is a website you can go to where there may be hundreds of thousands of people, usually women, streaming. So it's all like live streams. Right. And you can click on their little icon and you go into their room. And within that room, they'll usually be doing sexual acts.
Yep.
So it's an adult entertainment form. That's
so do you pay to go on the website or pay... How does it work money-wise?
It differs from different websites, but the majority of them, it's free to make an account, and you can either pay directly through, CC bill and things like that, or you can like top up your account with tokens, and then the model is paid in tokens, and then they pay those, they cash out those tokens to their bank account.
Right.
Okay. So that like each website has their own sort of form of crypto payment.
Yep.
And I've just realised that that's each website has their own form of crypto pay. They have tokens. That's what crypto is. I've been honestly, I keep thinking to myself, I need to find out what crypto is and NFTs, and then I just think, I can't be arsed. Okay. But I've been dealing with it this whole time and I've only just realised. Oh my God.
They just call things other things to make people think they don't know what they're talking about. But actually, I guess it's... Yeah,
because I suppose it gets people to sort of, like, spend more, because if you say, I'm going to pay you a fiver, or you say, I'm going to give you 500 tokens, the tokens sounds way better.
Yep.
So that's very clever. It's very clever, it Aldi, clever. How they get people to spend.
And there's probably some tax thing or something that also there's got to be a reason why they do it like that.
There will be.
Yeah.
It's like, all tax evasion.
With like all these festivals where you can't, it's not a cash bar, you have to buy drinks tokens from a thing and then take the tokens to the bar.
Yeah.
And then there was, because I work for a DJ agency and I've just done a contract for someone playing at a festival, and the festival doesn't, you don't pay to entrance for the festival, you just buy a drinks package. Okay. But then you get entrance to the festival. And I'm thinking, why are they doing that? But there's got to be some, yeah. Anyway,
there'll be some sneaky tax thing going on.
Yeah, definitely. So you spent the year researching.
Mm-hmm, I did, yeah. And I discovered that I wasn't the biggest fan of my labia. So I thought, I'm not going to do open leg stuff.
Okay.
But I am comfortable with getting my boobs out because I've got great tits. I'm going to get those out. I'm going to be myself because I like being a bit of a dork online. So I'm just going to do that, and I'm going to join My Free Cams, and I'm going to be a cam girl, and it's all going to be great. So I did, and then when I was 18, I started camming. And then through camming, I met other models, and do you know what? I was actually, at the time, I was on Tinder, and I matched with a model that was in Front magazine, because I was also in Front at the time, so we like we must have crossed paths somewhere. Matched with her, and she messaged me and said, I'm giving my best friend a threesome for his birthday. Do you want to come down to London? And I was like, this sounds dangerous. I am in. So I went down to London, had a threesome, had a great time. And she said, I know this person who owns another website called Extreme Playpen. And then she put me in contact with her. And then I shopped for them for ages. It's all very much how you know and who you sleep with. I think, pretty much. And then I got involved in that. And then Suicide Girls came along, and it's all just natural progression.
So when you started with the cams, what did you do? You just set up an account, and then what did...
Yeah, okay, so...
What did you do? You just kind of sit there and wait for someone to come in.
I'll write all this down for you later and send it in an email. But you make an account, and then you apply to be a creator. You apply to be a cam girl, and you've got to send over, like, your ID, and then a photo of you with the ID and all that malarkey. And then within 24 hours, you either accepted or declined. I was accepted almost immediately, obviously. But part of my research was things like, I noticed that customers, I never know what word to use. Fans, followers, the people spending the money were engaging a lot more with people that had a full room set up. So somebody that had actually planned out the background, people that had planned out games, that are like fully planned out a whole stream rather than just sitting in front of it and going, if someone tips me, I'll show you my left nipple. Like people that have really planned a whole thing out. Yeah. So I planned out my background. I got myself a really good webcam. This is all this information stuff on the internet that I really think that if you're going to be getting involved in the adult industry, you need to just do all the research yourself, because people can tell you everything, but until you've learned it, you're not gonna fully take it all in. I signed up, made a model account, and then for the first week that you're on My Free Cams, you get a little banner that says new model. So that's when you've really hit it hard. Go on every single day for as long as you can. And make as much money as you can in that first week to kind of gain all your fans. And then from then on, you've got your regulars. And there are people that follow me now on Fansly that were there for my first night on My Free Cams, and they've been with me this whole time. And they're like,
wow.
I know, it's mint. Honestly, this industry, you do genuinely make friends with the people that buy things.
Yeah. But,
like, there's a guy called Dan who I adore, and he's been there since day dot. And it isn't like he's dropping thousands of pounds all the time or anything like that, but he's just constantly being there. So he's like a proper little friend now, and I adore him. He's great.
So what do you do now? Because you don't do the cams anymore, do you?
No, I could do. I'd still have a fan base over there if I did want to do it. I don't really know why. I think just getting older, going through the several puberties that women go through, I've gone a little bit like, oh, my body doesn't look like it did when I was 19, so no one wants to look at this. Isn't true, very silly, something that I need to internally deal with. But no, I'm not doing cams much anymore. So now I'm on a website called Fansly, which is like OnlyFans, but they're not constantly threatening to ban us all the time.
Yeah.
So now I'm on there and I do like photo sets and video content. So it's all adult, nude, fun things, and people sign up, make an account, and then they pay a monthly fee to access my content.
Yeah.
So it works a lot better than camming, in my opinion.
With the OnlyFans, are you completely off of there now?
I still have my free account because there are thousands of people signed up. So that's like my little promotion thing. I've got my paid OnlyFans that's just constantly on a discount now because it's got like over 2,000 photos and videos. So that's sort of like a backlog that people can sign up to and immediately get access to all that. But all of my new stuff will be on Fansly because that's where I kind of want people to migrate to.
Yeah.
So
what happened with them, again, for people that don't know, so OnlyFans was it set up initially to be like an adult site, or was it kind of set up to do other things?
I think just like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, it was set up as a website initially meant to be safe for work, and porn stars took over it and made it popular. Because the exact same thing happened with Instagram as an example. It wasn't that big, and then people with massive porn followings were invited to join, and they said, you've got a great following, come and join our website. They bring over millions of people, and then the website goes, we don't really want to be associated with porn anymore, so we're going to delete your account but keep all of your followers. So, and that's why Instagram are constantly over-censoring sex workers and deleting our profiles left, right and rebob. It's ridiculous. So OnlyFans didn't mean to be the first port of call for mainstream porn, but unfortunately that is what it became. I mean, like OnlyFans they've done a hell of a lot as far as bringing sex work to the mainstream, because I mean, OnlyFans is mentioned in a Beyonce song. So, you know, it's one of them. But unfortunately they have kind of taken all the benefits of sex work and then tried to drop us on our arses.
Yep. But because they did say that they were going to get rid of all the adult content.
Yeah.
But then did they retract that?
Yes. So OnlyFans is it's a private company that's owned by several people within the industry. One of those people was or is the owner or the ex-owner of My Free Cams, who asked for a buyout, which is where all this started. So they're a private company. And in order to go public, they need to have investments from big names, big brands, big banks. Unfortunately, those big names don't really want to invest in anything to do with adult entertainment, which sucks. So in order to get those investments, OnlyFans said, we're going to put a blanket ban on adult material.
Yeah.
After saying that, all adult entertainers then said, that sucks, we're going to stop using you then, obviously. And then they just saw a massive plummet in their users, the amount of money they made dropped massively over 24 hours. And it's as though they sort of went, oh, shit, all of our money comes from sex work. Fuck. So then they said, thanks so much for everyone for reaching out and speaking out about this. We are going to suspend our decision. And for some reason, lots of sex workers heard, they're not doing it anymore, yay, when what they said was, we're going to suspend the decision. So carry on giving us money, and then later on, we're going to ban you. Which is now again... There's been a recent report come out that they are going to ban again all adult creators. So they did actually just suspend the decision, and they're going to do it now, which sucks. Which is why I'm over to Fansly. I mean, there's the reason that private companies need to become public is because it takes a hell of a lot of money to run these websites, like. Facebook is a multi-million pound company, billion, for a reason. And it takes a hell of a lot of money to keep it running. OnlyFans has a massive, massive user base. And in order to keep customer service going and tech and all that sort of shit, they need money to keep it all going. So that's why they become public companies. But as said, a lot of banks and big money people don't want to invest in sex work. So it becomes increasingly difficult for companies like OnlyFans and Instagram to keep going when they have adult user base. It sucks.
It does suck. And it is, I mean, it is, when you really think about it, it's absolutely ridiculous because it is like the oldest job in the world, isn't it, really? Like,
yeah, essentially.
It's literally the oldest job in the world. And it is everywhere. And surely it's better to be in an environment where it is not monitored, I suppose. So they are making sure that no one's getting, what's the word?
Trafficked?
What's the word? Trafficked and taken advantage of.
Yeah.
You know, or any underage stuff happening. You know, I mean, that's what I would imagine. If they've got that much money, do they look at what you're posting and making sure that it is
suitable? There is... A lot of, especially with Instagram censorship, they do tend to use, it's like facial recognition software where they look for nipples and skin tone, which is why a lot of marginalised communities are just deleted off the bat because there's a lot of a certain skin tone that's seen, or there's a lot of double circle of a nipple and then it's deleted. But every time it's reported, supposedly it goes to a human that then looks at the post and sees if it's okay or not, but it's purely me hypothesizing, but I think that humans working for Instagram, and often they're very sorry, it's upsetting to me too, humans looking at the post is only happening when it's like a verified person or somebody with millions and millions of followers, because people like Playboy or Kim Kardashian can post nipples. Playboy is in the past has posted images of sex, like full on naked people enjoying each other, and they're not removed at all. But me down the road that has less than a million followers will have a post removed of me in a bikini because there's too much skin showing.
But how do they get away with it? Is it literally they pay them off?
I don't know. There's lots of cases of people like buying the verification and buying followers, which in the end doesn't help them or anyone else in the industry because it makes us look like fake people, which isn't very good.
Yeah.
But I think for a lot of the verified people, for a lot of the famous people, it is just having an in at the company because, as I said, it is at the end of the day, it's a private company. They can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
If they say, we don't like this person, they have every right to boot you off the system because... It isn't a right to have an OnlyFans account. It's not a right to have an Instagram account. They're a company and they can do what they want. But unfortunately, it's the censorship inequality that kind of puts some of us, especially LGBTQ, and marginalised groups at the bottom of the feeding thing. I'm not very good at thinking of terms today.
No, that's all right. I'm never Isn't it that they can just delete your account?
Yeah.
You just lose everything.
Yeah.
And you can't do anything about it, even though it wasn't necessarily justified.
Yeah. Because, again, they're a private company. They can do what they want.
Yeah.
It's completely unfair. And for a long time, sex workers have kind of been warning everybody that what affects us first will eventually affect everybody else. And we're seeing this happen now with, like, massive censorship on Instagram. They're censoring more than just sex workers. It's going across the board of sex toy companies and anyone that's posting about body positivity. It begins with nudity.
Yes.
Despite other adult accounts being able to place an 18 plus warning on the profiles, and that'd be okay. But if I was to put an 18 plus warning, that would flag the system as I'm posting stuff that I shouldn't, which is counterintuitive. It's just resulting in the removal of, like, countless body positivity accounts as well.
Well, I was just saying, there's a company called Manners. I've had Sally, the woman who started it, on the podcast.
Okay.
And loads of her content gets reported and banned, and it's women. Her thing is she dresses all sizes. So mm-hmm. she has models of all sizes wearing her clothes. And it's obviously body positivity.
Yeah.
And so much of her stuff gets taken down. And I'm like, but why? Why? Because you're not, it's
stupid.
Not explicit. It's not, they're not naked. They're wearing dresses, and but yet loads of her stuff gets taken down. But it's because it is oversized models, basically.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. There was recently, oh my God, she's going to kill me. I've forgotten her name. Naomi. Oh God, I'll have to go back and look at this. But she recently took Instagram to court and won because they were removing a lot of her posts, and she was just posting about body positivity on the black community. And she did actually win her case that she was being unfairly discriminated against, which is amazing, and that's wonderful. But that is just a little pocket of people in, like, she did prove that Instagram were discriminating against black fat bodies, which is horrendous. And it's wonderful that that was seen. But then there's all the other groups of people, like sex workers, that have been saying for a long time, this is going to start happening. And then now it has. Sex workers have once again kind of gone, yeah, but we're not talking about you. We're talking about these people that are being discriminated against. It's like, guess what? We've been saying for a long time.
Yeah.
This is going to happen. We've been being deleted. Yeah. I know, Finley, it's horrible. It is. He's just crying because he's just so upset about how much his mum has to go through.
He knows.
He gets it. Do you want a cuddle?
But yeah, but that is really scary, isn't it? But then it is. It's like you said, they're a private company. They can do whatever they want. You know, you sign up for free. You post what you want. If they don't want you to be on there,
yeah,
what
it is
do
awful.
You do, really?
Social media definitely gives sex workers a brilliant platform to. Not only promote our businesses like any other alcohol company is allowed to do, or gambling company, that they're allowed to do that, but it also provides like an initial vetting process for, say, full service sex workers or anyone that works in strip clubs or anything like that. It kind of gives them an initial barrier of if somebody's interacting with their posts in a certain way, they can immediately have a little note on their profile that this person is someone not trusted, don't work with this person. Social media is an opportunity for not only for sex workers to use, but for sex education to happen. And it just isn't being utilised in the way that it could be, because it's seen as sex is bad and sex work is evil. And there's no such thing as sex work, there's only sex trafficking. And those two things are conflated and mixed up so often. I don't know how many times I can say it sucks in one conversation, because unfortunately there's really not a lot we can do. There's been like sex worker unions and trade unions that work with adult performers. So, Finley, I'm trying to have a conversation, pal.
It's all right. Yeah.
The people listening to the podcast are going to think that I've got a dog locked in a cage. He's sat at the window looking outside crying because it looks nice out there. Do you want to come here?
It's really windy here.
It's so windy, but because the sun's also shining, it's just...
Yeah.
It's now going to... I'm ignoring him, so he's going to go and play. Excellent. Find a toy. Amuse yourself. But yeah, there's been like trade unions the way that are performers and sex worker unions, like just United Sex Workers, who I adore. And they've been fighting for a long time, especially in America, taking websites like on Instagram to court for a long time and trying to speak out about the fact that discrimination is happening on a massive level, and the censorship inequality, and fighting against things like foster and sester, which only goes to further marginalise and further put sex work to the back end of the relationship, to the internet. And I've completely forgotten where this train of thought was going. I just looked outside. Honestly, my brain today. Thank God I'm not like on the news or something, because this would just be so embarrassing.
No, but you were on the news, weren't you? Was it the news? Was it like a...
Yeah, I was on...
So what was all that about?
So that was... Billie Eilish came out and said watching pornography at a young age ruined her first sexual experiences, and how being able to find porn so easily led her almost immediately to really violent porn. So there was a big discussion about how should all porn be behind a paywall, and is porn bad, and all this shite. So in the past, I've had a few news stations contact me and say, we'd really love to have you on to talk about this, and then it's not ended up happening. And this station got in touch and said, we really want you on. Are you available this afternoon? And it was like, that's my wool. That is my... I'm learning to knit, Finley. Ben!
Oh, that's not going to be nice in his mouth.
No, it's not. There's a bone here. It's got meat on it and everything. You're such a turd sometimes. Sorry, I'm literally just talking about me being on the news. It's so embarrassing. Anyway, so GB News, unfortunately, it's GB News, not one of the good ones. They got in touch and said, we really want you on this afternoon to talk about Billie Eilish and sex and all that sort of crap. And Shud is joining in now.
Hello, baby.
He wants to be a part of it. You right there, kid? Yeah? Having a great time? Cool. Yep. All right, sweet. Oh, God. Do you know, this was... If it's not one thing, it's the other. And if it's not Roadworks, it's you coming in and disrupting the whole vibe. Right.
It's all good.
I'm so sorry. This is just unprofessional.
Oh, don't worry. It's lovely.
Yeah, so I basically went on, and it was with a presenter called... Oh, can't remember her name. Why did I even start a sentence? I don't remember.
That's all right, because she didn't know your name either, did she?
No, she didn't. I was literally asked three times, including, can you send a voice note with how to say your name? And I was like, yes, absolutely. And she still got it wrong. So,
but now, you haven't got a weird name.
It's because it looks French. It's the X.
Yeah,
and like that's the beginning of my real name. It's not like I've just plucked some syllables and some consonants out of nowhere. Like, it looks French. So everyone says like Bordeaux, and I'm like, I'm from the north of England. Say it how you see it. It's B ducks. Christ alive. Oh God. So yeah, so she got my name wrong, but it was talking about just. Should all porn be behind a paywall? Which, for me, if I'm just talking about my own personal experience, that would be brilliant. Because if all of my porn was behind a paywall, none of it would be for free. No one would be leaking it because you've got to pay. And I'd be making a lot more money. But unfortunately, that isn't the way the world works. And we've seen in the past with companies like Pornhub, they've taken card details, addresses, names... And not only doxed a lot of the performers, but they then sold the information of the fans and the people paying to other companies like MasterCard. So people are well within their rights to be concerned about what these companies are then going to do with their personal and financial information.
Yeah.
All it does is prove to be an absolute massive, massive issue. And it really just gives sites like MasterCard a monopoly in the financial area of it all, because there's only so many businesses and companies that are large enough to handle that influx of money and payment details.
Yep.
And unfortunately, MasterCard is a company that just is massively against sex work. They do have, in the past, they've done campaigns like Acceptance Matters, and MasterCard champions acceptance, but that doesn't apply to us, apparently. Acceptance matters unless you're a sex worker.
And only if it's something that they want to accept.
Precisely that, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like there's so many companies, especially around Pride season, champion LGBTQIA lives and employing black people around like the Black History Month, but then simultaneously endangering them for the rest of the year. So when you're talking about things like putting blanket bans on things and putting all porn behind a paywall, really all they're doing is speaking about limiting our own potential. And unfortunately for a lot of sites, that's exactly what they've done. And as censorship inequality continues to grow and more sex workers are kicked off websites for doing exactly what an alcohol company does, they're limiting our earning potential and literally taking money away from us that we could be earning. Yeah. And then it's putting us more and more into the poverty sector, which pushes us into further unsafe practices, because for a model online that isn't making the amount of money that either they're used to, or they're just starting and aren't able to reach the earning potential of some of the other vet models, if they feel like they have no other choice, they're going to turn to street work. And there's obviously nothing wrong with full service sex work. Big supporter, consider doing it in the past myself. But when you take things like the initial vetting processes that a social media account can offer, you're putting somebody in a very unsafe situation where they aren't able to vet their clients as well as they would be able to if they had that in place. Which is why when Foster and Sester came through in America and it took away websites like Backpage, all that did was take away an opportunity for people to, or authorities to infiltrate sex trafficking rings, because they've taken that site away. So all these people that were just laying themselves out on the internet saying, I'm a sex trafficker and here are the people I have that you can buy. They've just gone, oh, actually, we're going to make sure that that page gets deleted so they can't do that anymore. They're not going to stop trafficking people. They're just going to make it way more difficult for you to catch them. And at the same time, you're bundling sex traffickers and sex workers into one, which they're not. They are always conflated and they're different things. If you're being trafficked, you're not working. You've been sold into slavery. Work is not the same thing as being trafficked. But when you're taking away places like Backpage and you're taking away that initial vetting process, not only are you pushing trafficking underground, but you're forcing the people that then had that amazing opportunity to say, you sound like someone I don't want to meet in person, to making it, turning that into a 2-second conversation at a car door as to whether or not this person seems safe. It's literally just putting people in danger. And it's, that sounds so like grandiose, like Instagram deleted my account and now I'm going to be killed. But like, as silly as that sounds, that there is a direct correlation.
Yeah, definitely. So what is this Foster and Sester?
So Foster and Sester, it's an acronym for something about People Against Sex Trafficking Act. But really all that was a sort of facade of, we're taking all adult entertainment off the internet. Did way more harm than it did good. More harm. Because it did exactly the examples I've just laid out is exactly what happened. Which is just awful. And we've been fighting for a long time to not have that put into place in the UK. But it's already started to go through, which is awful. And then there's things like the Nordic model or the sex buyer law, which despite the wording and the pretense of its... the way that it's been shown to governments and the world is that it decriminalises sex work, which it absolutely does not, which is why we are so against having the Nordic model introduced into the UK.
What is that then?
So that's basically making it, it's, instead of decriminalising, it's adding more laws surrounding it. So in the UK, at the minute, selling sex and buying sex isn't illegal, but there are so many laws surrounding the act itself that are. So so many of the activities associated with buying sex are criminalised, right, which, again, leaves workers very vulnerable. So, for example, it is perfectly legal to pay for sex, but it's illegal to pull your car up to a worker and ask if they're available. That's illegal. It's legal to pay somebody, but it's illegal for more than one worker to be in the same place. Brothels are illegal. So basically, having a building with security and a receptionist and people on the desk if they're needed, and having a little clinic at the side if anyone needs condoms, is completely illegal because it's more than one worker working in the same place, and that's seen as bad. But it's legal for somebody to be doing in calls in their own house. And if worst case scenario, somebody has a really horrible client who then starts stalking them, a sex worker would be, I can't think of the word. They'd be wary about contacting the police, because it's far more likely that they'll be prosecuted for being a sex worker than it would be their stalker being arrested.
Yeah.
Which is, and there are so many cases of like stings in America where police have gone into a brothel, slept with the sex workers, paid for the services, and then arrested them for being sex workers. And that's completely, they're allowed to do that.
Isn't that entrapment though?
But it's legal for a police officer to, and there have been cases in the past. There was I think a Vice documentary where someone was interviewed. She was a trans worker, was picked up by a police officer that she didn't know was a police officer. He pulled his car up against her. I know. Finn, I know, it's awful. He pulled his car. Shush for a second. I'm telling a serious story. So she entered the car. He pulled his car up against a wall so she couldn't open her car door, locked all the car doors, proceeded to rape her, and then arrested her for being a sex worker and soliciting sex. And she was imprisoned for that. Not only that, because she's a trans sex worker, she was imprisoned in an all-male prison. So, and that's like literally one story that happened to have somebody come and speak to her and film. That's like, I think she mentioned that was the fourth time she'd been arrested for soliciting sex, but it happens all the time, and it's just not. I know.
Awful. It's really upset, isn't it?
That is
terrible, but you can imagine how much that happens.
I know, and it does, it happens all the time. And it's, there are several cases in the UK of, lap dance bars and strip club. I couldn't think of the bloody word for strip club there. It's just falling off the chair trying to get through a treat. That's cool. And there have been tons of cases of lap dance bars and strip clubs being infiltrated by like secret women organisations and the police to try and sort of film workers without their consent, which is doxing them completely and using their photos and evidence and videos of them to try and get the places shut down to see if they would offer extra services. And there's been countless reports by sex workers that haven't been taken seriously by police of people coming in to buy a lap dance, assaulting the worker, and then reporting back to their superior to say that this worker is offering extra curriculars, which obviously isn't true. She's just been assaulted. But if she was to go to report that, she'd be, more than likely, she'd be arrested or been given a warning for soliciting sex in a public place.
Surely, absolutely ridiculous. It would be better for everyone if there were places that were secure, where clients were vetted, that they would be taxable.
Yep.
You know, the government
could make so much tax
money out of it. I know.
The amount, honestly, last year, Jesus, the amount of tax I paid, Christ alive. I'd like, that last year is the first year that I've like tipped over the next tax bracket.
Right, okay.
Jesus Christ almighty, the amount of money myself and like this morning, me and a couple of my sex worker pals had a nice FaceTime to talk about tax and what's tax deductible and all that sort of shit.
Yeah.
Because the amount of money that we've paid could cover the NHS fees over and over and over again. It's ridiculous. Yeah. But there's very recently there's been cases of in Edinburgh, there's been a full council imposed blanket ban. They've implemented a nil cap on all adult venues within the city, which basically means that they're banning strip clubs and like dancing bars across Edinburgh. This it's been known that this is going to be happening for a long time, and sex worker unions and people within Edinburgh and across the UK have been campaigning for a long time to get everyone to sign to say a lap dance bar and a strip club are some of the safest places for women, because yeah. if there's the slightest hint, the slightest whiff of trouble, that person's kicked out. Like, within yeah. that club, probably one of the safest places a woman can be. I mean, yeah. that's said with a little bit of salt and vinegar. But, yeah, they've, despite the desperate pleas of people across the UK and within Edinburgh, the councillors have imposed, they've agreed to impose a ban on them.
But they just going to go underground.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not going to happen anymore, is it?
It's just like abortion laws. Just because it's against the law doesn't mean that people aren't going to endanger themselves in their own homes. But this is after, like, women's rights groups have said that, or they've claimed that sex entertainment were basically, the venues were, like, breeding grounds for violence and toxic attitudes towards women. And the trade union, I think it was United Sex Workers, who represent adult performers, they basically just accuse the councillors, and rightly so, in my opinion, of just dictating what work women can and can't do.
Well, yeah.
It's another case of people in power voting to destroy livelihoods that they are in no way affiliated with no thoughts of the people losing their own source of income.
As long if men are making money out of women's bodies, they're fine with it. But as soon as the women start to make money out of their own bodies, that's when there's a problem.
So stupid. It's so stupid. I hate it. I hate the world. I don't hate the world. I just hate some of the policies that are in place. Some of the systems that are in place are just awful.
It's bullshit.
Completely agree with you. And I, like you said, wouldn't it be brilliant if there was... not this is why we argue against legalising. We just want decriminalising, because legalising means putting more and more laws in place. Surrounding sex work. But wouldn't it be wonderful if it was just legal and just it was perfectly decriminalised for 3 or 4 workers to rent out a building, do it all up like a little mini B&B, and have a nice little receptionist on the desk and have a little room to the side and have showers in each. Like, that would be so... Yeah. That would be, not only would that be brilliant for the sex workers and feeling more comfortable and feeling more safe, but brilliant for the clients as well, because they're getting to go, rather than going down a back alley and having to be secretive about where they're going, because a lot of customers and clients are politicians, and they are people in positions of power that don't want to speak out and support about it for fear of being connected to such a deplorable industry. It would be so much easier if everyone just said, sex work is fine, the people that want to do it can do it, and anybody that wants to be involved or pay for services won't be looked down or judged. So have a nice day, everybody. That would be so much easier. That would be so much easier. And instead, it's lots of women's rights groups saying it's demeaning to women to do what they want. Right. Cracking.
And also, if it was, it might lower the amount of people that are trafficked, possibly, if it is it is kind of easier to obtain. It's not such a hard thing to
it should really be obvious that giving workers more rights is crucial to tackling exploitation, and at the end of the day it's upsetting, but most of the sex worker protests and stuff that I've been on is literally just saying we want rights, we want workers' rights, like any any of the industry. But we're not given that because it's seen as, well, no, you're being exploited. All right, well, I'm making money. I enjoy my job. It's not like somebody has put me in a room and said, you've got to take 50 photos of your tits right now. Yeah. I've chosen to sit in that room and take 50 photos of my tits. I've edited them beautifully. Is that how many you take?
So, you work every day. Yeah. How much work does it entail?
Oh, well, it's like any other self-employed business. Because it's my business and I can work my own hours, in the back of my brain, I think to myself, well, that means that you should be working all hours of the day then. It's your business you only earn however much work you put into it. So from the minute I get up, well, maybe not the very minute because I'm trying not to do that anymore, but with my first coffee, I'm answering emails and messages.
Yeah.
I'm planning out sets. If I was more organised with my time, I wouldn't be working the hours that I'm working. I'd be working smarter, not harder. But I'm disorganised, so I work hard, not smart. I'm either shooting, or I'm editing, or I'm interacting with fans, because one of the brilliant things about the sex industry nowadays is that, I mean, it's brilliant and it's bad. Customers and fans do have instant access to the stars that they love. But that also means we have a hell of a lot of work, because I might have 200 to 300 messages in a day that I have to get back to. And each one of those people, I genuinely appreciate them being there, and I want them to feel appreciated. So it isn't like I'm sending a copy and paste to every single person. I'm sat writing to all these people. Correspondence.
That must be so time consuming.
Oh, yeah. And then you've got on top of that promoting, which at the minute I can only really do on Twitter without being banned, or I can do it sneakily and cleverly, which I shouldn't have to do it sneakily and cleverly, but I do on things like Instagram. So you've got all the marketing side of it as well, the promotion, any sort of graphic making. I've got my website. And going back to how expensive it is to run these websites, there's a reason that every sex worker doesn't have her own website. It's time consuming. It costs a lot of bloody money. So we need sites like this to do all that for us, to bring all the traffic in. Because we're busy doing 17 other bloody jobs at the start of the day. There's making the content, there's putting it all out, there's getting people to come and buy the content. So, yeah, it's a lot of it is just like any other self-employed job where you haven't also employed someone to do your marketing for you. There's a lot that goes into it. Yeah.
So with your subscriptions, so people can basically contact you at any time of the day.
Yeah.
And we'll expect a response.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if so I don't reply, like within a day, I get messages of, I'm a bit disappointed that you don't reply to your messages. And you've not been here very long then. Because I do. I just mapped it. And then things like my laptop breaking down. I'm now a week and a half behind on my editing. And there's only so many hours of the day I can look at my phone.
Yes.
So I've had to just sort of like post, really sorry, my laptop's been drowned by my dog. So full mug of fresh coffee, and it was a bloody good coffee as well. So I'm annoyed at that. But yeah, not having my laptop for a week pushed me behind work massively. So now I'm just sort of blindly trying to get through it all, pretending that I'm not drowning in work, which is great.
How do you get your inspiration for your content?
Oh my gosh, brilliant question.
Thank you.
I don't think I've ever been asked that before.
Really?
People just sort of, I don't think people ever really ask about the content. But you do have to be, like, Easter's coming up, so I could do a sexy bunny. I could dress up as an egg, which I really want to do. Last year I drew Easter eggs, and then I put eggs in my photo sets. And if you found an egg, you had to tell me which photo you found the egg in, and you get a prize. So this is
a good idea.
But
your boobs as Easter eggs.
Oh my god! Excellent idea. Excellent idea. Love that. I'm going to be going and I'm house sitting with my friend for the next 2 weeks, and she lives near a farm, which is basically a farmhouse. So I'm going to get some ears. I'm going to go down to where all the hay is. And I'm gonna Photoshop eggs all over the haystacks. And if you can tell me how many eggs there are, you're gonna win something. There's just things like that. Like
Yeah.
And it's coming up. There's all sorts you can do for Val. Anytime there's basically like any skincare brand or any brand ever, you kind of go with the times of year. Christmas is a big one. Valentine's Day is a big one. New Year's. I can market for my birthday, which is I did in March, and it was very good. I loved it. Any time of year, you kind of go in with all that.
Yeah.
Like any other brand, you've got to work with the events that are happening around you.
That's what I was going to say to you. Like, it's a really... Because I don't... Obviously, you can earn really well. I remember... I spoke to someone before on the podcast, and she was saying one of her mates was earning 10 grand a month off subscriptions. But she literally works every second.
Yeah, it is.
Every day to...
Yeah. It is. It's
not
you
easy
what
money. Yeah,
not
definitely.
At all.
It's not. Like, if anyone's thinking about doing it, it's not like, oh yeah, I can just earn 10 grand a month. Like, you're literally working for that money. You know,
a lot of, especially through the pandemic, we did see a massive influx of newbie sex workers thinking, oh, it's easy cash. I'll just post a few photos on my feet, and then I'll earn loads of money. And that's not the case. You've really got to get on it, especially with promoting yourself and.
And talking to people, like I said, like if you've got people messaging you all day that expect a response.
Yeah.
I mean, do you ever have like one person that just messages you all the time?
I have several of those.
And how do you deal with that? Because obviously you can't just spend all your time on them.
I've got quite a good little community. And Finley, please, man, come here. I've built quite a kind and caring community among my fans, which is wonderful. And I do tend to, like, if I put up a status on there saying I'm gonna get back to everyone's messages, but please give me a minute, I've got a lot to get through, or I'm having a bad day today, can people just give me a minute, I do tend to attract respectful people. And I think partly that's because I don't have nothing on my site's cheap. Cheap's probably the not the best word to have used, but I do tend to attract the sort of fans that want to get to know me rather than I've paid $3, I want to see you, Fanny, and then I want to get out. Although there is a hell of a lot of money to be made in the sort of I have a lot of, especially Suicide Girl fans, friends that have a $3 OnlyFans. And they've got all the content on there. There's no paywalls or anything. And they make thousands because they do attract the fans that just sign up and want everything. They want immediate and instant gratification. Whereas a lot of my content is stick around, hang out, be my friend. And I might not have thousands of fans because of that. Finley, really. I don't have like a massive, humongous fan base, but the fan base that I do have tend to spend, which is my preferred method. Again, like any other business or any other self-run business. How are you? Come here, there. Come here. Up. Like any other self-run business or any other brand, the way that you present yourself and the way that you conduct business will attract different clientele. And sex work's definitely something that you can mould to be whatever you want it to be and attract sort of clients, or any kind of client that you want. But you've got to have a smart head on your shoulders, and you've got to have a business mind going about it. It can't just be,
gotcha,
I fancy making a load of money, I'm just going to post photos on my feet. Because it's not as simple as that. You can make an account and you can post 500 photos, but if you've not promoted yourself, no one's ever going to see it. So you've done all... Yeah. I say you've done all that work. You've done 5 minutes photo taking for nothing because no one knows that you're there. And building a fan base and a loyal fan base takes years, which is another reason that the over-censorship on Instagram stuff is so rough, because some people have built a fan base over 10-plus years and then have it deleted over a bikini photo.
Yeah.
Which is just, awful. Awful.
That is awful.
Yeah. And this is another thing of, if we had proper workers' rights, we'd be able to contest these things more properly. And social sites like Instagram would be less able to just boot us off because we have legal rights to promote our businesses on there like any other, like Smirnoff Ice do.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a great business, but it's hard.
And how do you feel doing it? Because obviously it is quite a taboo job, isn't it? I mean,
yeah,
I'm very much of the, I don't think it's anyone's business what you do for a living. If you're happy doing what you're doing and you're not hurting anyone, the way you live your life, do you know what I mean? I'm very much like it's whatever, whatever's good for you. And I'm, it's the thing that everyone wants, really, isn't it? To a certain extent. So why not make a living out of it? You know, it's that kind of, but obviously in our society, it still is kind of a bit of a,
oh, definitely. It's definitely still taboo. I think it's, sex work is one of those rare jobs where if you have a disability or if you have like an anxiety disorder or depression, it's a job that you can do from the comfort of your own home. It's a job you can do if you've got a disability that affects your movement. If you're having a day where you can't get off the sofa, you can work from your sofa. It's a job that literally anybody from any group of people can do and are able to do, if you've got the time and the energy to put into it, and the skills, and the alarms are going off for me to take my meds, but that's fine. Finn, you're falling off the sofa. You're falling off. It's just totally falling off. Right. That could be.
He's like a 2-year-old.
The little boy that I co-parent, called Harley, whose mum is Jane, who I love immeasurably, when I first adopted Finley, he and Harley were like at the same development stage of life. And it's weird how it felt like I'd adopted the dog version of my little boy. Very odd. And he's just stayed an annoying little 2-year-old. Anyway. For me, I've worked as a cleaner, I've worked in retail, I've done a lot of jobs, and sex work is the only job that I sort of felt, I can work my own hours, I can do my own shit, I'm not working for anyone else. If I'm getting up early and I'm travelling an hour to a photo shoot and then I'm not getting home until 9 p.m. and I'm knackered, I'm not doing that for anyone else. That's all for me. That's my business. No one's taking a cut apart from the tax man. It's all my business, and I love that because everything, like where I now live, the things that I've been able to buy, I've worked fucking hard for that. And I've happened to do it in a job that's also given me massive confidence. It's introduced me to phenomenal people that are like-minded, and like within sex work, obviously there are a little faction of people that are going to be absolute dicks and arseholes, but sex work has opened me up to the most open-minded, liberated people, and it does tend to attract weird and wonderful marginalised people, and we're all sort of like in a community and we all fight for each other's stuff. And if a sex worker shares like a GoFundMe for someone who's saving up for the breast augmentation, or if they're trans and they need to have an operation done, like we all sort of club together, and that's, I can't think of another industry where so many different kinds of people from different groups would sort of all just come together and go, well, we're all going to support each other because we're all being dicked by the government, so let's all just be friends instead. And like I said at the start of the podcast, when I first started, I really didn't like my labia. I really didn't like my body at all. And sex work helped me. Sex work forced me and helped me to stop self-harming. I still have disordered eating, but I don't have an eating disorder anymore because it's like those are things that I'd have to explain to my fan group, my fan base. And so although it sort of created a thing of, if I go on a photo shoot and I've got fresh cuts, I've got to explain that. So it forced me to stop, but also gave me a reason to not do it anymore. It made me a lot more comfortable in myself. I'd never watching porn on porn sites. That's, if it's free, it's stolen. Just going to put that out there. Pornhub is all stolen content unless they've put it up themselves. And if they've put it up themselves, go and sign up to their private accounts, please. Give them money. If it's free, it's stolen. But watching porn on sites like that when I was younger made me think that I had something wrong with me because I didn't have a porn vagina and my body didn't look like that. And it wasn't until I kind of discovered amateur porn and people working within the sex industry that I realised that all bodies are different. And not only is my vagina gorgeous, but she's totally normal. And
yeah.
10 years in the industry, last month, I shared my first ever open leg foreskin set.
Oh.
And do you know what? I didn't feel any fucking different. After I'd shared it, I thought I was going to feel this sense of like, oh my God, I did it. And I didn't feel any different. The only thing I thought was, I could have been making this much money for this long. And instead, my own insecurity didn't let me do it. But being in this industry has just made me love myself so much more. And hopefully now, I'm going to be able to, there's going to be some girl somewhere or some vagina owner that's going to come across my content and go, oh, her bits look like mine. Oh my God, and she's showing them off and people are paying to see her bits. This is amazing. Because if I'd have known that when I was young, if I'd have known that people pay to see vaginas like mine, I wouldn't have felt so bad and so shameful about mine. Sex workers may be the least shameful ever, and it's seen as this like shameful thing, and I'm just like, love your body, everyone. It's great. I love it.
Oh, I'm very happy for you.
Thank you so much.
I'm so excited for you as well. That's really lovely.
Thank you. I'm very lucky that like I've never really had the sort of thing in my brain of what's appropriate to speak about. There's something going on there. I don't understand appropriate timing for things at all. But I've never really had that sort of block of not talking to my friends and family about what I do for work. And I'm very lucky that my mum and all my family know that I'm going to do it regardless. So you can either support me and be a part of my journey and still talk to me, or you cannot be in my life anymore. So I'm very, very lucky to have a very supportive family. All my family knows what I do. I don't hide what I do from anybody. All my friends know. And it's kind of, any friend that I've had that doesn't know about the sex industry has learned through me and then become more open to it. So the more open we are about sex work and body positivity in general, the more Finley will cry.
Exactly.
At the end of the day. Sex work is just the best job ever, and it just builds everyone up and makes the world a better place. Mm-hmm.
Amen. it was so lovely, darling. I'm going to have to go now because my radiators are now being drained, so everything's just going off.
Yeah, your radiators are going crazy. I can't, thankfully.
Okay.
But yeah, you know, I've had Finley
crying
the whole
time. Sounds like a washing machine's in my room. Oh, but thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you.
And it was really lovely seeing you. And I will hopefully see you soon. I'm going to try and get down.
That'd be lovely. I'd love to see
Margate.
You. I'm sorry that I've had such a off on a tangent brain and Finley's been crying this whole time.
No, you're fine. It's absolutely fine. Stop apologising. Honestly, it's been absolutely fine. He's lovely and you're lovely. And it's lovely seeing you. But yes, I will see you soon. And thank you so much. And sorry this has all been a bit... Me bloody plumber turned up in the middle of it.
I know. This podcast, the universe has been against it, honestly.
Yep.
We're going to have to do another one.
Yeah.
One where we're both sounding like we know what we're talking about.
We'll do one when we come and see you. We'll do another one.
I would love that.
Yes. Oh, all right, darling. Love you lot.
Bye.
And I look forward to seeing you soon. Bye bye.
See ya.
Hi. So yes, that was the lovely Bee. I'll put links to her social media and everything so you can follow her. If you want to discuss anything that we spoke about in the podcast with me, then please get in touch, or with Bee. Or if you would like to come on and talk to me about anything, then again, just get in touch. I'm always looking for people to talk to.
because I like talking about all different kinds of things. So, yeah, but I really enjoyed that. Love Bea, love Finley. He's beautiful. You need to check out, I'll put a link to it, but she's got an Instagram for him as well. He's just such a beautiful dog. And, yes, I hope you are good. Sorry, I think one of my daughters is coming into the bedroom. No, she's not. Yeah, I hope you're good. I hope you are enjoying this beautiful sunshine we've been having. Happy Easter. It's Easter Sunday, isn't it? And I didn't eat any of my kids' eggs. I did buy more to eat, but I didn't actually eat the ones that I got for them. And I've had them in the house for over 3 weeks. So that is a big achievement for me, because normally I would eat them and then rebuy them, and I haven't. So yeah, well done me. But yeah, big love to you all. Happy Easter. I hope you get lots of chocolate. And I will see you next week.
Bye. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.